This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, it's such an honor and pleasure to address the primary reason that epic really is epic. You guys are what makes epic epic. You know what epic means in English language? What does epic mean? What does epic mean? How do you translate the word epic? Cool? I like that. Okay, so you're cool. What else does epic mean? Epic does mean cool in the modern language. Louder. Amazing. Very good. Yes, epic means amazing. What else does epic mean? Yes. Excellent. Very good. All of this is right. Sisters, give me another word for epic. Awesome. Very good. All of this is legit. So epic is awesome. Epic is cool. Epic is amazing. Epic is excellent. And do you know why it is so epic? I have said this on the khutbah. I have said this during the fundraisers. I have said this when we raised $2 million. I have said this all the time. The number one program that makes epic cool and awesome and great and excellent, it's not any of the shuyukh, it's not me, it's not our imam sahab, it's not our qari sahab, it is you guys. It is you guys. You are what makes epic epic. Alhamdulillah, you are our pride, and I say this honestly, and Hafiz Sab and everybody knows this. You are what inspires us to do what we do, because you guys are carrying the legacy. You guys, you've all seen the Olympic race, right? You've seen the race runs where they have to pass the torch down. There's like race relays, there's a special Olympic sport where you carry the torch, and there's four people running, and it's a teamwork. And when one finishes and gets tired, they pass the torch to the next one and he takes over. Well, guess what? You're the group that we're passing the torch on to. Right now, you're very young. You're 5 years old, 15 years old, 17 years old. You're young. But the time is going to come when you guys are going to be sitting here and you're going to be taking charge. So what we're doing, we are prepping and preparing you to take on the torch. So you are our... The English word is flag bearers. It's a big word. Flag bearers means you're the ones we're so proud of. You're the ones the attention is on. And we're so happy, alhamdulillah, that all of you are with us. Now, I'm going to be a little bit blunt, which is my methodology, my way of doing things. I'm going to say things perhaps you haven't heard too often before, but that is who I am. Listen, I've been where you are. I have been sitting where you have been sitting. And when I was where you were sitting, I wasn't very enthused about sitting where you're sitting. I wasn't too happy. My parents told me I have to do a hifz. My dad told me, sat me down, he goes, you have to do a hifz. I was 11 years old. Do you want to know how I reacted? Who can guess how I reacted? Yes. Ah, very good. See, we're seeing eye to eye here. I don't want to do it. That was my first reaction. I don't want to do it. And what do you think my dad said? You have to. I guess we're on the same wavelength here. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about, huh? You have to. You have no choice. Do you think I won or he won? He won. And now that 37 years or something more than that have passed by since that incident, long time ago, even though it's not that long, I'm not that old, but still in your guys' age, I'm very old, I get that, no problem, but inshallah, in my eyes, I'm still young. But now that so many years have gone by, I am so thankful to Allah that He won and I didn't win. Now that I've had to go through, it was not easy, I know what it's like. And I've been through this. Again, I was in your shoes many, many decades ago. I know what it's like. And at this stage of your lives, you feel like you're giving up on the fun that everybody else has. And I remember that was my number one reason for being frustrated. All of my friends are going to be playing. And I have to be sitting in a room memorizing. That was exactly how I felt. All of my friends get to go and have fun. And I am trapped. I literally felt that way. I remember how I felt. I am trapped. And I have to do what they don't have to do. And you know what? I was right. They did have fun. And I was trapped. But as the years went by, what I have, because I was trapped, the treasures that I got, the precious blessings that I got, the person I became, somebody very, very, very different than any of them. So when I was growing up, it's way, way early on. Can you believe, I know you're going to be shocked at this, there were no computers. That's how old I am. There were no computers when I was 10 years old. There were personal computers. This was not a thing we could afford. Computers were only in IBM and other big factories and whatnot, right? So we had to do old school. Guess what I did when we were bored? Who can guess? Yeah. Say what? Pet rock. No, I didn't have a pet rock. No, I wasn't that boy. Yeah. Play with your friends. Very good. How? Soccer? Yeah, what else? Counting sticks. I didn't do that. Bikes. You know what a BMX is, or is that too old school? You know, you're old. Yeah, you're Buddha. You're not amongst these guys. Yeah. You know what a BMX is? Huh? It was the coolest bike. Is it still a bike? I don't even know. Is the brand still around? It's still a bike? Okay. When I was growing up, all my friends got BMXs. And my dad said, no, I can't afford a BMX. I have to pay for his school. You know, we grew up, money wasn't easy back then. You know, it was difficult back then. It wasn't the way it is now. Our parents came here with nothing in their pockets. They literally had to start from scratch, you know. The story goes, everybody knows the type of story. My dad came with less than $20, right? And he had to work his way up. And it was a very difficult time frame. But my dad said, no, you have to do a hifz. How do you think I felt when all my friends got BMXs and I didn't get a BMX? And I had to sit where you're sitting. I'll tell you, I was very frustrated. I was very angry. I was angry. And I felt that I'm not getting a fair deal. But you know, what Allah blesses you with when you have the Quran is so, so much more. And it's gonna come as a blessing throughout your entire life. So what you're gonna sacrifice now, and it is a sacrifice, I know it. Because yes, your friends that are not sitting here, your friends that are going to school and playing their, they don't have BMXs, but you have PS, whatever, 17s, I don't know what it is now, and Xboxes, I don't know, number, whatever, I'm lost count, whatever, because I've gone through everything, all the iterations, my kids, not me, I don't know them anymore, but yeah, everything has gone through, I know it. Your friends have it, you don't have it. They have time to play, and you have to do your muraja'a. You have to do your new sabak, pakka karna hai, right? Yes, I had to pakka karna hai, same thing. I had to make it pakka every day. By the way, I had the dandi, you didn't have the dandi. So thank Allah. Hafiz Saab, no dandi, right? Please. I had the dandi. Do you guys know what the dandi is? Huh? What is it? Tatta. They have it. Okay, I had it when I was growing up. You guys don't have it, okay? I had to do murgha. Do you know what murgha is? Who's going to demonstrate? Yara, you want my say? No? You don't want to do it? You don't know what the murgha is? They don't know what it is? They know. They know. They have it. Okay. They had a race with them. Oh, dang. Wow, this is worse than me, actually. Okay. I went through that. Yes, I went through it. Don't think I don't know what you guys are going through. I went through that. But you know what? You'll come out totally fine. You'll come out way better than anybody else. I'll tell you why. Because there's two separate blessings that come with memorizing the Quran. The one of them is the religious side of things. The one of them is the spiritual side. And I'll be frank with you, most of you at this age are too young to appreciate that. I get that. I wouldn't have appreciated it either. If a sheikh came to me and I was 13 years old and he began going over all the blessings of the Quran, I'm like, yeah, whatever, okay. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. You're not gonna appreciate the spiritual side at this phase of your lives, that's fine. But I'm telling you, there's another side of blessings as well. And that you can appreciate right here and now. Because when you choose Allah, even when your parents choose Allah for you, Allah is not going to make life difficult. He's going to make life good. And there is blessings that come with memorizing the Quran that are going to impact you even in this world. And I'll tell you some of them. First and foremost, your memory. Your memory. Your memory is going to be way better than any of your friends. Because, you know, a lot of people think that a memory is like a USB, a hard drive. That the more I add, the more packed it's going to get, and then it's going to become clouded, I have to get a new hard drive. No! A memory, Allah created your brain the same way your muscle is. What happens when you go to the gym every single day? What happens when you lift weights every single day? Does it become more difficult or does it become easier to lift weights? Tell me. Easier. Guess what? Your brain is exactly the same. Your brain is exactly the same. The way Allah blessed your brain, the more you memorize, the more easier it becomes to memorize. And so, the fact that you're doing hifz, you are training your brain to memorize. And memory and knowing things off the top of your head is a necessary tool if you want to be successful in any field. Medicine, engineering, you know, whatever you want to do. You want to be a teacher, you want to be a professor, you want to be a doctor, you want to be an architect. Memory is needed to study in school. And I don't mind telling you, you're all my extended family here. Alhamdulillah, as you probably know, I was a very good student as well. I was a valedictorian of my high school class. And I was always the top of my class, always, you know, grade A's throughout. The fact that I did hifz and the fact that I'm a valedictorian are not two separate things. Do you understand this point? They are related. Because I did hifz in middle school, because I had to give up in playing and in BMX and in whatnot, Allah blessed me with memory. Because I'm training. None of my friends, this was back in the early 80s, you guys, you know, obviously we're not even, this is a different, nobody was doing hifz. It wasn't a fashion back then, it wasn't a fad. Nobody did hifz back then. My father was like, no, tumko hifz karna. My father, you have to do it, man. Okay. None of my friends did it, and guess what? Who ends up the valedictorian? I did. Because the brain is automatically being trained. So don't trivialize this point. Allah is giving you a regiment, a training, a mental gymnasium. You're going to be the best of your class when you get back into your middle and high school. You're going to be the top throughout the rest of your life. You're going to see this if you want to, because again, I'm being again honest with you. If you want to be lazy, you can be lazy as well. Becoming a hafiz doesn't make you Superman automatically, but it gives you tools not to be Superman. Do you guys even know Superman, or is that something in the 80s? I have to. You know Superman? Yes? I grew up watching the original Superman, black and white, and, you know, Baklas color TV. Like, this is a different thing. You guys have a different era, man. What is it? Marvel Comics? I don't know, man. What is it? What's your latest superhero? Whatever you guys are. DC Marvel, whatever it is. Okay, I don't. My kids watch this stuff. I have a vague idea. Okay, but honestly, memorizing the Quran, you're not going to become whatever these comics are, but you are going to be better than everybody else. In the dunya, in your grades, in high school, in university, automatically, you, if you want to, because if you want to be lazy, you can be lazy. If you want to give up, you can give up. But if you want to, automatically, you will find it far easier to get an A than anybody else in your class. Why? Because you're sitting here right now. That's why. Another thing this hifz does, another thing that Allah blesses you with, and this is a necessary tool for any successful person. Another thing Allah blesses you with is something that you probably have heard but you don't understand, and I'll teach you a little bit about it. It's called time management. Maybe some of you have heard the term. Maybe it's a bit advanced for you, but I'll explain to you what time management is, okay? Time management is to make the maximum use of your time, to do the most. We all have the exact same 24 hours. We all have the exact same 24 hours. Some people do a lot more than other people in that same amount of time. You all know when you have a homework due and you don't do it till the very minute, what happens? You're all panicked, you're all scrambling, you're worried what to do. When you are in hifz school, when you have to memorize your sabak every single day, and you have to do your dor and your muraja'ah, right? You are training yourself for time management. Inherently, you're going to absorb. You understand, I have a deadline. Hafiz saab ko parana hai sabak, varna murgha, whatever, you know. Parna parna, I have to do it. You're lucky you don't have the tatti, but we had it back in the day, man. I used to get sticks, man. You guys are so blessed and fortunate. It's like, memories come back too. I used to get it. This is in the 80s. There was no laws, no child protection services, man. It was a different world, man. You guys, if something happens, you call 911, that's it. We are not going to be able to do anything. No, don't call 911, that's a joke. But you guys have a different era than me, okay? So imagine I had to memorize the sabak daily. There is no excuse. Guess what? You learn time management, efficiency. You learn to get the job done. And that's going to come in handy. And again, I'm not trying to like brag about myself, but my own lifestyle throughout college is I never, ever delayed an assignment to the last minute. Never. And I look back and I wonder why. And I say something, perhaps even some of you in college will be shocked. I never pulled an all-nighter in my entire 20-plus years of university education. Never once did I put an all-nighter. Never. You know what all-nighter is? You spend the whole night, the day before the project, getting the project done. You do the exam studies the last night. I never, to this day, have done an all-nighter. And I went through 2 bachelor's, 3 master's, and a PhD. I've never done it. Do you want to know why? Time management. How do you get time management? One of the ways you do that is by what you're doing right now. Your sabaks, your dawra, your muraja, you learn, okay, I have to do this, I have to do this, and you do it. So automatically, you're going to be more productive than anybody else. But again, if you want to, because if you want to be lazy, you can be lazy. Not every hafidh becomes successful, but every hafidh who wants to, yes, will be successful. You see the difference, right? Not every hafidh is going to be the best, is going to be successful. But every hafidh who chooses to be successful will be successful. That is a rule. So you are sitting here frustrated that all your friends are playing. You're sitting here a little bit angry, like you think you're losing out on life. And I'm telling you, no, wallahi, you are gaining on life. You are getting the upper hand. But you don't see it now. Now, you have to follow the routine and the regiment. You have to be trained. But the time will come very soon. I'm not talking about 10, 20 years down the line. The time will come in a year or two. As soon as you get back to the quote-unquote real world, the time will come when you will automatically find, why are my classmates not getting this? It's so easy for me to get. Why are my classmates struggling? I get this done. And you won't even understand it. But I'm telling you, it's because you're sitting here right now. This is, in Arabic, the term is barakah of the Quran, right? You probably don't understand this term right now, but this is, Allah says in the Quran, that kitabun mubarakun anzalnahu. We have revealed a kitab that is mubarak. Do you know what mubarak means? I'll teach you this and then I'll stop and I'll open the floor for Q&A. Mubarak means everything that you want to do, the Quran is going to make it easier and better for you to do. That's what mubarak means. Everything you choose to do, the Quran is going to amplify it. The Quran is going to make it bigger and better. That's what kitabun mubarak means. Is that you give one, with the Quran is going to be 10. You give 1 hour, you have the Quran, it's going to be like 10 hours, okay? So, kitabun mubarakun anzalna. Allah has given us a mubarak book. When you have the book inside of you, when you have memorized the book, when you have, alhamdulillah, the Quran up here, then guess what? Your memory becomes mubarak. Your time becomes mubarak. Your efforts become mubarak. Everything you do, because you have the Quran in you, if you do it for the sake of Allah, is going to be mubarak. So your life increases in quality, in barakah, because Allah has blessed you to have the most blessed book, which is the Quran, inside of you. Kitabun mubarakun anzalnahu. And I said this last thing, I'll just add one more thing. Allah praises the people who have the Quran inside of them. Allah praises those who have the Quran already memorized. Allah says in the Quran, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. These are clear verses that are inside of the hearts of the people of knowledge. So Allah has described the Quran as being protected by the hearts. You are now allowing your heart to be protected by the Quran. Your heart is going to become protected because you have the Quran. في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم. And you're on your way to become, inshallah ta'ala, people of knowledge. I don't want to go lecture on and on. I just wanted to give you encouragement that you're in the right place. Wallahi, you are in the blessed place. And it's your friends that are losing out, not you. You are the ones gaining. You are the ones that are going to have the upper hand. You are the ones that are going to benefit from this sacrifice, because it is a sacrifice. You will benefit in this world. And then I didn't even talk today about the blessings of the hereafter, because honestly, that's another topic, and you will appreciate it maybe later on, inshallah, in your lives. That's another time and place. But you are not sacrificing. You are not losing. Wallahi, I swear to you, you are the winners. And I go back to where I began. You are what makes epic epic. So jazakumullah khair on all our behalves. I want to thank all of you for making epic epic. Make epic epic by doing what you're doing, by finishing your sabak and hifz, inshallah ta'ala, by progressing day by day, by treating your Maulvi sabs and Hafiz sabs with respect. Yes, they do deserve respect. Wallahi, they deserve respect. Thank Allah that Allah has blessed you with this group of scholars and hufadh to teach you. And inshallah, if there's any questions, and listen, I am your older brother, so if you have an awkward or difficult question, believe me, I will answer it. So if you have a embarrassing thing about your hifz, about something, no problem, share it with me. If you really have issues, you know, your mom is saying this, your dad is saying that, talk to me. I've been through your phase. I've lived your life, as I said. I have, believe me, actually worse than you, because I was in a different type of madrasa. But alhamdulillah, I have lived your life. Our madrasa wasn't this clean and fancy and gorgeous. You know, Maulvi Sahib knows what I'm talking about. But so go ahead and ask questions. And sisters, you also need to ask, because I want to hear your questions as well. So brothers and sisters, bismillah. My younger brothers and sisters, who's going to be the first to show some bravery and courage and ask a question? Raise your hand. Bismillah. Yes. Your name is? Imran. How old are you, Imran? 11 years old, mashallah. What is your question, Imran? Excellent. Question is, are there any du'as to keep memory? Okay. Now, the concept that if you say something specific, a miracle is going to happen, is not from our religion. In other words, when you say, is there a dua for this? Is there a dua for that? As if du'as are like astaghfirullah magic tricks. No, Allah doesn't work this way. Our religion doesn't work this way. It's not like you watch Harry Potter, and I know you all know Harry Potter, and you're like, ah, oh, I gotta say this exact spell, and if I say it, this happens. The religion doesn't work that way. Allah doesn't work that way. There is no specific dua that if you say it automatically, something happens. Nothing. The dua is not on what you say, it's how you say it. You raise your hands to Allah in your language. How many languages you speak? Which is the other language? Uzbek. I was wondering. Okay, Uzbek. Okay. So that's a type of Farsi. Farsi has multiple manifestations. You have Dari, you have, and you have Uzbek, you have Farsi in Iran. So in Uzbek, you make dua if you want. And you will literally say, oh Allah, make the Quran easy for me to memorize and make me never forget the Quran. It's not what you say, it's the fact that you say it from the heart. You understand? There is no magic formula, and I want you to memorize this for every situation in your life. So when you get older, and inshallah you're going to be applying, I don't know, medical school. I don't want to put that idea in your head, but just suppose you're applying to medical school. Do not come to me when you're 20 years old, say, Sheikh, what is the dua I need to make to pass on the USMLE exam phase one? There's no dua from the Quran and Sunnah about USMLE phase one. But you will raise your hands to Allah and you will say, oh Allah, I have a difficult exam and I want you to make it easy for me. Is that clear? So there is no magic formula for anything in your life. Dua is from the heart. And Allah cares about what your quality of dua is and not the words that you utter. Does that answer your question? Very good question. Okay. Sisters, who's going to be the first to break the ice? Bismillah. You have to ask some question. Yes, go ahead. I can't hear you. Can you raise your voice? What do you do when you burn out? That's a very good question, and it's a very frank question. Listen, we all burn out. It is what it is. And if you, in one particular day, you just really are having a bad day, and it happens, sometimes for personal reasons. You had a bad day at home, your mom screamed at you for something, and it's going to affect you. It happens. Or you're physically sick. What if you have a headache? Sometimes you do burn out. Burning out should not stop you from proceeding onwards the next day. It's okay every once in a while that things happen. It's fine. But if you cause a burnout, if you cause a day or two of, let's say, you know, bad behavior or whatever, to ruin the rest, then that's where you have failed. Do not make a burnout permanent. Do not allow a day or two of negativity to influence a lifetime of positivity. So I'm telling you honestly, it's okay if, you know, one particular sabak is not really pakka. I know Hafiz Sab is going to not like this, but I'll say, it's okay. Make it pakka the next day. It's not the end of the world, okay? One day it happens. Don't let it get to you. Khalas, I'm a failure. I can never do this. No, you can do it and you will do it. So failing once is not failing, as long as you come back bigger, better, and stronger. Making a mistake, not being able to do it, is not a problem if it's learning and you're like, you know what, today was a bad day, tomorrow, or even you have a week because you have a fever, you got something, it happens. But don't allow a small failure to cause you to have a big failure. That is the real burnout, which is problematic. That's where you have failed. So small things happen, and yeah, maybe this and that, no problem. But make sure you maintain the goal. Consistency. You all remember the story of the tortoise and the hare, right? You've done that story, right? The tortoise and the hare story. It's still taught at your age. I don't know, what do you guys teach? Some of the kids are just looking at me with blank stares. They have no clue what it is, you know? The rabbit and the turtle, I don't know. You guys know it? Some of the girls know it, but the boys don't seem to know it. You know it, right? Yeah, okay. So you are the turtle, you are the tortoise, you are the going slowly, 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 slowly. And the one who thinks he's going to do super fast but is lazy, it doesn't get anything done. Slow, consistent, every single day. How much is your sabak on average? How much do you memorize every day? 1.5? 1 page? 1.5 page. So when I was your age, I would do 1 page of the Madani Mus'haf, 15 lines, you know? I would do that. That was my sabak every single day. I remember some days I didn't do a good job. And yes, I would get, you know, daunted, and maybe even the dandi. I would get that. And it makes you feel really bad. But you know what? You get it done the next day. And you keep on trying. And some days, mashallah, I got more sabak done. But and literally, sometimes I would look at the Quran. I still have, by the way, the Quran that you use, it will become your most precious Quran for the rest of your life. I still have my Quran that I used to use in the 80s. I don't use it because it's so old, but I have it, right? And it's my favorite Quran. And I don't know about you guys, but I would memorize at home. So sometimes some sandwich would fall, you know, and I'm stuck for Allah, but it happens. I got my peanut butter jelly, you know, I got to wipe it off, and it's still on the Quran. You know, I got some dal, salan, whatever, it fall. I still have, you remember this, right? Because you're memorizing and you're eating at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I still have, and then sometimes you pull the page and it tears a little bit and it's still torn. You put some tape on it. That's my most precious Quran to this day. It's my favorite Quran. Even though I can't use it anymore because it's 30 years old. But it's right on my shelf and it's right there. So make sure the Quran you use, you keep the same one. No matter how old it gets, you keep it. And trust me, when you are in your 50s, 60s, it will be your most precious book because all your memories are going to be over there. And I'll go back to my story. I remember still to this day, and I'm doing, a memory comes back to me, I'm doing Surah Baqarah, you know? And I'm like, man, how am I going to finish this? Flip through the pages, counting the pages. How am I ever going to finish this? You know, my dad told me I have to do Hifz, but look at this. How am I going to do it? And you just get overwhelmed, like, your Hafiz Sab does half-half. I didn't do half-half, you know, this half-that. I didn't do that, you know. I did it a very different way because I had a different system. But anyway, I'm like, how am I ever going to do this? But guess what? Subhanallah, every single day, and you do a page, what's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to finish, right? It's only 604 pages. right? Literally, 604 pages. Guess what? You do it within a year and a half. A year and a half. It took me a year and a half, and I did it. And subhanAllah, so don't worry if there's some hiccups along the way. Don't let it demotivate you. It happens. Just continue, 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 and the time will come when inshaAllah you will finish that book and you're like, Alhamdulillah, it is now done. And that's the time our brother Munib has it today, and every one of you inshaAllah will have it soon. Question, next question. Who's going to be the next person? Brothers, come on. I know you have questions. Smirks is not a question. Give me a question. Sisters, back to you. The brothers are being shy today. So the sisters, you show your intelligence. Bismillah. Good question. Should you do the translation of the Quran while you're memorizing or after? Listen, when I was young, I'm still young, sorry. When I was younger, I didn't do the translation because I didn't understand that it should be done. But now I believe it is useful to do it at the same time. I didn't do it with translation. I did it, you know, I started, you know, 11, 12, 13, and I didn't understand that you should also. So I would memorize, you know, I'm Desi, I don't speak Arabic growing up. I learned Arabic in my 20s. You know this, I'm a Desi, I speak Urdu. I didn't understand Arabic. So I memorized the whole Quran and I didn't know what the Quran is. That's what motivated me, by the way, to go study Islam, that I felt I needed to study the Quran. How can I memorize it and I don't know what it means? So I felt I needed to go study. But that's this different phase of your life. So my advice in hindsight, I wish that, you know, I had read the translation. And you know, when you do so, you'll automatically start learning some Arabic words as well. Okay? So I wouldn't spend too much time, but why not, when you memorize, it's one page, why not just go over the English as well? And automatically, and you know, there's, you know, again, the world has changed so much. These days there's websites and there's beautiful Qurans that are translating word by word, phrase by phrase. I didn't have this growing up. When we grew up, there's only Yusuf Ali, Abdullah Yusuf Ali in English. There was no other translation I had access to. These days you have every single word has the English equivalent. So why not have that translation so that you begin to learn a little bit of Arabic as well? You should all know ya'lamun and ta'lamun is what you used to do, okay? You should all know, you know, basic words, sami'un and alim and kana Allahu ghafura rahima. You should know, you know, these are basic words you get to know. So I would recommend that it'll only take 5 minutes. Have this open up, and as you do your sabak for today, go over some basic stuff as well in the English and Arabic. And if you have more time after you've done your hifz later on, if you have more time, you also have access to so many tafsirs that I didn't have access to growing up, in so many languages as well, if you understand Urdu, if you understand English, online as well, which we didn't have, you know, online as well. You go over some basic stuff. What it's going to do, believe it or not, is going to make your job of hifz easier. It'll be easier to memorize because you know what you're memorizing. So I do suggest, if you're able to at least add a few minutes of translation and maybe even longer. And in terms of tafsir, it doesn't even have to be daily. Once you finish, you know, Surah Yusuf, for example, everybody has Surah Yusuf tafsir. Once you finish, you know, Surah Al-Nahl, listen to a tafsir online so that you get an idea. And it's going to make your hifz more pakka anyway. You're going to understand what you memorize. So I do encourage, and I wish this had been done, but it was a different era when I did it, so I wasn't able to do that, inshallah. Let's do some final questions. Guys, you need to ask now. Come on, the sisters have more questions than you. Yes, go ahead, bismillah. Again, make longer, louder. How do you make your hifz stronger? This is a question that different hufadh have different methodologies to do so, right? When you're memorizing the Quran, you know that you have to have your, you know, muraja'ah, recent muraja'a, right? The weakest hifz is the sabak you've just memorized yesterday and the day before. That's the weakest hifz. So you need to make that pakka before you move on. And that's why I'm sure your hufadh have a routine. I'm sure they have it, everyone does it, that not just today's sabak, but the last, how many days sabak do they have to do? MashaAllah. 20 days. Dang, mashallah, hifz, strict, mashallah, it's good, very strict. This is why he is who he is. He is a legend in the hifz world. This is why 20 days, you have the strongest regiment and routine, mashallah. I had only 7 days, so That's why it's better for you. Good, that's excellent. 20 days. So once you do that, my advice to you is, once you finished hifz, even when you're still memorizing, tell your parents when you're at least, 13, 14, 15 at least, you know, this age, or even younger if you want to, if you have the maturity, tell your parents, I want to lead Taraweeh at home. This is one of the best ways, and your parents will be more than happy to oblige, that you lead, and so every single day you have to, even if it's half a juz, nothing is going to make your hifz more pakka than leading Taraweeh. Nothing. And ask the Hufadh here. This is what makes it the most pakka. So I would recommend that even at this stage, if you have 10 juz, 15 juz, just tell your parents, I want to do those 10 juz this Ramadan. And even if it's only, you know, last 10 days, whatever it might be, but bring your family and friends, your little cousins, whatever, and make it something that you do in your household. That's my advice to you, inshallah. Sisters, any questions? Bismillah, ya Allah. The brothers are winning. Yes, go ahead, yeah. What does my what? My older view? Oh, muraja'ah. Honestly, I don't have the level of muraja'ah that I need to, and I'm not happy about that. But later on in life, you will understand people have different roles. And I am not the tahfidh teacher. MashaAllah, the tahfidh teachers have a blessed role. So if I needed to lead a new page in Salah, I would have to make muraja'ah of it, you know, at this stage. Alhamdulillah, I am hafidh, as you know, in multiple qira'at, alhamdulillah, but I don't have that level of muraja'ah that the huffadh do. And that's why I still make every mistake once in a while, because I'm not to that level. So don't take me as a role model here. But I try my best to make muraja'ah every single day, you know, half a juz or something. I try my best, inshallah, that even to this stage, you're never ending. And inshallah, a stage will come in your life where, you know, you incorporate Quran in your salah. This is one of the best ways as well. You incorporate Quran in your salah. So while you're reading salah, you are going to, you know, make the Quran a part of, like, you're going to start from Baqarah and work all the way to Surah An-Nas in your salah. Okay? So what you're going to recite, you just quickly read it and then you try to put it. That's the ideal. And if you cannot do this, then at least, you know, after Fajr, or even ideally, inshallah, when you're older, Salat al-Tahajjud is a great time. Allah mentions the Quran, by the way, you all should know this in Surah Al-Isra. Wa Quran al-Fajri, inna Quran al-Fajri kana mashhuda. What does mashhuda mean? What does mashhuda mean? Wa shahidin wa mashhud. Yes. Witnessed, very good. Quran al-Fajri kana mashhuda. Quran al-Fajr here is Salat al-Tahajjud. Quran al-Fajr, the Quran you recite before Fajr. Kana mashhuda, it is witnessed. Who witnesses Salat al-Tahajjud? The angels. The angels. So, sister asked me about muraja'ah. One of the best ways to do this, when you're older, you're still young now, when you're older, is to put in your mind, inshallah, one day, I'm going to be implementing this verse. Wa Qur'an al-Fajri, inna Qur'an al-Fajri kana mashhuda. Inshallah. Brothers, there was a hand raised. Oh, y'all go ahead. Yes, the translation does make your memorizing easier. I do recommend you to read translation so that you have a better idea of what you're memorizing. That's why I told the sister, you should. It's a good idea, inshallah. Inshallah. Any other questions? Yes, sister. So in terms of how they're going to handle it, again, the world has changed so much. I wouldn't be worried at all. These kids will do just fine when they go back to school. 100%, I guarantee you. The world has changed and they are well connected. I was in a bit of a bubble in the 80s. These kids are not in a bubble. They know full well, more than you, frankly, what is going on. They will be completely in tune with culture and language. This is not even, don't even give it a second thought. They are not going to have an issue. With regards to alim and alimiyya course, this is another longer topic. And I'm just going to say for now that parents that are here, I understand and it's fine to pressure your children to do hifz. I have no problem with that. But you cannot pressure them to do alimiyah. Alimiyah has to come from the heart. Alimiyah, to become an alim, to go madrasa, you cannot tell them to give up a career and become an imam or mulana. That has to come from the heart. So that stage, when they're 18, then conversations, and come to me. All the time parents come and have frank conversations and assess. I've been through that program and that stage as well. So don't ever live your dreams through your children. Your children will become adults and they have to live their dreams, not yours. Correct? Right now they're your children. Right now you are in charge. Right now you tell them, do hifd, and they'll fight back and you know, karne karne. Okay, karlo, theek hai, kar liya. But once they get after high school, for how long are you going to micromanage their lives? Because you don't want them to then resent that, oh, I didn't want to do this, my parents sent me. No, at when they're 19, 20, 21, no, you cannot do this then. So the question of when to go should be asked only when the young man or young lady says, I want to go. Then we get to the stage of where and when and logistics, okay? But do not ever force a program that is and an adulthood. That's not something that we do, inshallah, okay? With that, jazakumullah khair. It was my pleasure and honor. And the good news is, I'm right here. So anytime you want, inshallah, we can, inshallah ta'ala, have more sessions. And I'm here for you guys. I say this all the time when I speak. Listen, you're my community. So any issues, anything, you want to come to me, just come up to me after Isha, after Fajr, any day, and say, Sheikh, I have a question or whatever. And inshallah, you know, we will, inshallah, you're my community, you're my extended family. I'm all here for you, inshallah. And once again, I'm really proud of every one of you. Don't give up. Be brave. Overcome the boredom and repetitiveness. What you're doing is the most noble, the most blessed, the most epic thing you can possibly be doing. So be brave, aim high, and day by day continue doing. And I guarantee you, mark my words, memorize this, a day will come when you will thank Allah and then your parents and then your Maulvi Sahibs and Imams. You will thank them that Alhamdulillah, you forced us and you caused us to be who we are today. That day will come when you will be very thankful to Allah, because the blessings you're getting here are the best blessings you can get, which is the blessings of the Quran. Hafiz Abu Jam. No. So listen, it's one thing to say, once you have memorized the Quran, you should understand it. I agree 100%. But to say there's no benefit in memorizing the Quran, no, that's totally wrong. And I can speak to you with my own life. I told you, I memorized the Quran and I didn't speak Arabic. I didn't understand the Quran. I was a pakka hafiz and I didn't know one word of Arabic. I am desi like you guys, right? No Arabi, mafi Arabi, mafi marum. That's all I is. No Arabic, okay? And I can see the benefits in my own life. I lived those benefits. I was a valedictorian and I didn't know Arabic. I was a magna cum laude in engineering, University of Houston, not too far away. I was a magna cum laude and I didn't know Arabic. I went through the whole university engineering and I didn't know Arabic, and it helped me be who I am. And it helped me maintain. I didn't even talk about the spiritual side today. Because again, I'm telling you honestly, it's too young for any of you. That's going to come one day. The spiritual side, as a young man, the Quran protected me. The Quran made me a better person as a young man. The Quran allowed me to be a religious person in an environment where it was very easy to be non-religious. Nobody's monitoring, but the Quran protected me, even though I didn't know what it meant. So no, I strongly disagree with the claim that if you don't know what the Quran means, then it's useless to memorize it. No, I do agree. You should learn the meaning of the Quran. 100% agree. But to say that there's no benefit, that person doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm sorry to be blunt. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I lived the life of knowing the blessings of the Quran without knowing the meanings of the Quran. So I can tell you from firsthand, 100%. It will impact you and your life will change for the better, and you will have Allah's barakah and blessings even if you don't know the meanings. And if you know the meanings, it's going to go even more. No doubt about that, inshallah. Inshallah. With that, Jazakumullah khair. Inshallah, all the best. And until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون.